Well, this morning it's greatly a privilege and an honor to be able to have Larry and Gene with us. The last time they were going to be with us, Larry needed some special attention, so he got it. Yeah. it's been a little while since they've been able to be with us, but boy, I tell you, we sure appreciate this couple and can't wait for them to share with you what God's been doing in their work and their ministry. And once again, I really want to encourage you to be praying that if God desires you to be a part of a mission trip to the work north of Detroit there, tell you what, we're looking to go that direction this year. So hopefully God will stir you today as you hear and listen and see what God's doing. So with that, would you put your hands together and welcome Larry and Gene as they come?
Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and saints in the Lord for all your support down through the years. 20 years, that's quite a while. Makes me 20 years older than I was back then.
So, it keeps me young, though.
It keeps me young. Yes, it do. But again, we appreciate your faithfulness to us and to Wilgo, and may everything you've given us, may it return to you 100-fold plus. And I just was sensing in my spirit yesterday, the Lord spoke to my heart that there was somebody that, something in the right leg, something's going on in the right leg. Is that you? Okay.
Get it.
Can we come and pray for you?
Awesome.
Walk it off.
Walk it off, talk it off. We'll lift it up to Jesus. And your name is?
Jeff.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love Jeff enough that you know his leg was bothering him. Lord, so we lift him up into your hands and we cry out for healing right now. We believe for healing. We thank you, Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings, that you're Lord over this right leg.
Yes.
We thank you for healing right now. We thank you that for the price that you paid on the cross.
Yes.
When you bled and died and was buried and rose again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he can rise in newness of life. Thank you for touching that leg right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus.
Right.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that healing power. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you.
And Pastor Jeff, we just, I was sensing that the blood also. I think there's more than just what you prayed for. I sense that there's somebody else here that is having an issue of blood or something is wrong with the blood in your system. If that's you, would you just raise your hand or stand up? I'm sensing it very strong in my spirit. Diabetes, something in the blood. Diabetes isn't in the blood, but in the blood. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm just going to pray because we've had people come to us afterwards and say, oh, that was me. That was me that was having that problem. So I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you care about our system.
Yes.
That you care about the blood that flows through our veins. And Father, we just ask that this person that needs a touch in the blood, that you would touch him right now.
Yes.
And that you would heal.
Yes.
And you would cleanse that blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I was also sensing that there's back problems. If you've got back problems, would you stand? Have problems in the back? Problems in the back? I just felt like the Lord was telling me that you maybe need to change your mattress. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what the Lord told me. So, but we'll pray for you now anyway. But sure. Glory to God. In your name,
Christy.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Christy. We thank you for her love for you. And Lord, we thank you that you care for her, that you know all of her situations and you know all about her. Father, we just thank you that by faith she's going to just step out and get a new mattress. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. But touch her back right now and heal her in Jesus' name. Muscles that need to relax, I command you to relax in the name of Jesus. Muscles that need to tighten, tighten right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Thank you for touching it.
And you know, Christy, as Larry was praying for you, I just saw like a waterfall, just a waterfall over you. I just feel there's a pureness in you, a desire to be pure, and God is washing you. He's washing you, and he loves you, and I see you crystal clear. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. When I look at you, when I think of you, I see your head laying on the breast of Jesus, crying out, God, I want more of you. I just want to hear you. I just want to follow you. I just want to be with you. I want to know your heartbeat. I just sense that's a cry of your heart. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this man. God. Just continue to bless. God, let him hear your heartbeat. Oh, let him know. Let him know all the things that you'd have him to know.
Yes.
That's the cry of his heart. God, I want to hear your heartbeat. I want to know you more. I want to hunger and thirst after you. Huta haite. Shoshandara bakasato. Shitora masate. E kakayata masate. E ba ite. Bless in the name of Jesus. Bless him, Lord.
When they were praying over you, I seen a fresh apple, fresh fruit for you too.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm sensing there's somebody that's in the valley of decision. You have some things that you have to decide upon. If that's you, would you just stand? Really sensing it in my spirit. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Valley of decision. Let's go back and pray for him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I just pray that your name is
Jesse.
That you would lead him out by peace, Lord. That you'd be with him, that you'd guide him continually. And you just watch over him, Lord. And in Father, I pray that when he makes a decision that he'd be led out by peace. He would know. He wouldn't go to the left. If the left says, ick, don't go this way, or I got to check, take him the right way and give him that peace. Let him be led out by peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Larry, I wanted just to say one more thing about this. I just see that your decision, Lord just reminded me about Job and Abraham. Is that his? Abraham's son-in-law.
Lot.
Lot, yes. Lot and Abraham. Lot chose by eyesight. Abraham chose by the Spirit. So I just want to reaffirm what Larry said. With all your heart, choose by the Spirit, not by sight.
Chandler? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Chandler to you. God, we pray that you'd just give him peace of heart.
Jesus.
Peace of mind, Lord God.
Yes.
That you would truly lead and guide and direct his life, Lord God.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you that he's your son, that he's led out by your Spirit, Lord. So just continue to speak to him, Lord God. Speak to him the way to go.
Yes.
And let him be also led out by peace.
Yes.
Peace. The right way is peace. The wrong way is ick. It's not good.
Yes.
So be led out by peace in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And God just wants me to remind you of that scripture to take every thought captive. Not every thought that comes into this mind is the thought that should be in this mind. Mm-hmm. Take it captive. Divide from what is right and what is not right.
Mm-hmm.
What is
absorb what is good and reject Amen. What is wrong.
Yes. Amen. For the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, are for good and not for evil. Plans to prosper you and give you a future.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and rose again so I too can rise in newness of life. And that goes for all of us that know our Lord and Savior, that we can depend on the blood. We can depend on his power. I'd just like to share a little song with you that means a lot to me and how it set me free. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Because he touched me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, how Jesus touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls, because he touched me. Oh, how Jesus touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I'm alive. I thank God that you're all alive and well in the Lord. And you can say, thank you, Jesus, that you touched me. Amen. Well, just how many of you have never heard us before? Would you raise your hand? Oh, quite a few then. Uh-huh. Well, we're just going to give a little testimony about ourselves. And when I was 16 years old, I was taken to a little town in Fort Dodge, and it was a co-worker that took me there, and I was presented to a lady, and she shared the gospel with me. And I just broke down and I wept, probably for an hour, uncontrollably. And it just cleansed me out. And I was so excited that I went up and down the road sharing the gospel with my neighbors and friends. And there wasn't anybody that was really ready to receive that. And because of lack of fellowship, I kind of fell to the wayside. But I also wanted to be a farmer because I thought that farming is a pretty good way of life, and so that's where I put all my efforts. Is I thought there was only one kind of a farmer, and that was a millionaire farmer. Anything wrong with that? But anyway, that's where I was working, and of course my life had been changed in the fact that God gave me a love for people. But in the world, I was still telling dirty stories. I was still drinking. I was still smoking. And sometimes it takes a period of time to get all this garbage out. It takes a long time for it to come in. It also sometimes takes a long time for it to come out. But so anyway, one day I was out behind the barn scooping manure, doing the things that you have to do when you have 130 sows. So I had a lot of poop to move. And so I was out there one day, but my heart had begun to change. I began to start to seek God and was beginning to get a hunger and a thirst for Him. And so I just said, but the Lord just said, "Larry, you're straddling the fence. You either get on one side or you get on the other. I'm going to rip you right up the middle." And them barbed wires looked like they were that big. And I know they really weren't, but that's how big they looked to me. And I fell to my knees and I said, "God, I want to serve you." I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to pray in tongues. I was delivered totally in an instant from drinking, smoking, and swearing. It took me quite a while to even have a conversation because it wasn't very good. But I thank God that He cleaned it all up. And so I'm just telling you that maybe you're having some problems in this area, but just be patient. God will take care of you. When you go to a certain point, he'll say that's enough, and you got a hook in your mouth. If you know Jesus is your Savior, He's got a hook in your mouth, and He'll only let you go so far. But I'm just thankful that I was able to serve Him from that day. We didn't go into the mission field then, but we had a Bible study that we served faithfully for 13 years, every Monday night, never missed it, and just were faithful with that. And then we were led to a church that was kind of like this one, where the Spirit moves freely. And so we went there, but we just felt like God was really moving us into mission. So one day I went to our pastor, and pastors are good. They're the guidance of your soul. So be sure and go to your pastor if you need some guidance and some help. Be sure. That's what He's here for, is to watch over your soul. And so I went to my pastor and I said that we felt like it was time for us to go on the mission field. And he reached down in his drawer and pulled out a little flyer and said, "I believe this is for you." He said, "I never heard of it before. I just got this little letter here a couple weeks ago. And it's Victory World Mission Training Center. And I think that's where you need to go." So we went down there and checked it out, and he said, "We don't have time to do any paperwork. You just come. We'll fill out the paperwork after you get here." So we were obedient and did that, and that took us into our work that we are doing now. But when you do something for God, you need to have training too, and it's always good to have training. We can hear from the Holy Spirit how to do things, but sometimes we need teaching, you know, and to move ahead. So I'll let that took us to the mission field. Uh-huh. And so I'll let Jean share how she got to the mission field.
Oh, okay. I don't know if we have any teenagers in the room today, but I was raised as a Methodist, and also Larry and I, we've known each other since we were 5 years old, rolled the same school bus, in the same school, had our prom together, all those things, you know. And so our life was just wonderful. We loved farming, both of us. We loved farming. And so my parents kind of envisioned, and I think his parents did too, that we would always be farmers. But when I was 14, 15, somewhere in there, I went to a weekend retreat, and we had a fiery young pastor, and I will never forget him. He was running up and down in front of the fireplace, and he was saying, "Remember what John F. Kennedy just told us on TV," which was really dates me, you know. Most of you weren't born when John F. Kennedy was on TV, but anyway, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country." And this pastor said, "I wanted you to do the same thing, only in a little different way. Ask not what God can do for you, but ask what you can do for God." And then he said, "Go sit in the woods by yourself. Don't go with a friend. Sit in the woods by yourself until you hear what God wants you to do." I thought, are you kidding? Anyway, we're very obedient in those days, so we all went out into the woods, and I just sat down on this rock, and I just said, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do?" Just about like that. And I can say I did not expect to hear anything. But in less than 5 minutes, I heard one word, and that word was China. And I thought, whoa. In those days, you know, China was not on the radar, nothing like today. And so I thought, well, there's got to be more, you know? So I said, "Okay, God, what else?" And I would hear audibly again and again, three times he spoke, "China, China, China." Well, I was so thrilled. I thought, wow, I know what my life's going to be. I'm going to be a missionary in China. So I went home and I told my parents. Oh, my goodness, my poor dad, he just came unglued, I guess is the word I can say. And he even shook his finger in my face and said, "No child of mine will ever step foot in China." Well, you know, when God speaks something, he will bring it to pass at just the right time. We went on to do our farming for 25 years, but yeah, at just the right time in our mid-40s, upper 40s, God said, "Enough." Enough. Step out and do what I've called you to do. So, again, we were just so thankful that. And, you know, I'm a registered nurse. Larry was had some other businesses. And it's very easy, the pull of the world, to continue to rely on yourself. But when God asked us to step out, he said, "Step away from everything." We burned every bridge. No apartment houses to go back. No business to go back. No, quit my job. No nursing job to go back, even though they held it for 6 months thinking she's lost her mind. She'll be back. Hallelujah. When God speaks it, you just need to stand on his word, and he will bring it to pass.
And that was one of the requirements when we went to mission school, is that you had to get rid of everything. There was no turning back, they said. So that was really quite a step in our of faith in our lives. And I'd just like to share a little story with you that when we went to Tulsa, we went there and we got introduced to the church and everything. And it was a big church. Had a, you know, open doors, and they had a big baby grand piano in there, and there's probably 3,000 members that would show up there. So we just kind of watched God move through that, and we were there, and he was moving through our lives and changing us. But anyway, this school, this church had everything. They had a Christian school. They had Dream Center, basketball teams, and everything. So it was a big place. and the custodians and the security, they all had this great big ball of keys that they would carry on their side. And young Paul, he was the pastor's son, the son of Billy Joe Doherty, who's now passed away, but he would go to his dad and say, "Dad," he said, "I sure wished I had this, all these keys, so I could go to every place in the building here." And dad would say, "No, son," he said, "you're just not ready for these keys yet." And so he'd get a little older, and every year he'd come to his dad and say, "Dad, I think I can handle them keys now. I sure wished I had them keys so I could just run all over the place and go any place I want to and wouldn't have to get the security or the custodians to help me get into a room." And so his dad would say, no, you're just not ready. One day he got to be big, tall, taller than his dad. And he said, "Well, Dad, I think now's the time that I should have these keys." Dad said, "No, I really don't think so, but I have this one key I'm going to give you." And he says, "Yeah, I want you to, you know what you're going to do. I know God's got a call in your life. I'm going to give you this little room, and that's going to be your prayer room, and that's where I want you to go." And it was about the size of a small bathroom, and that was his office. That was where he went in to pray. And so he'd just go in there and pray and cry his heart out. And in the meantime, his dad passed away. And he was just really missing his dad, so he went out and sat on the bench where he could go into the, just before he could go into the sanctuary. He just wanted to go in there and play the baby grand piano and just tell the Lord how much he was missing his dad. But he couldn't get in there. So he called the security, and they said, "Well, it's probably going to be an hour before I can get there, so you'll just have to be patient and you'll have to wait." And then he called the custodians, and they were someplace else, and they said, "Well, we can't get here for quite a while." So he was over there sitting, and he was just kind of pouting a little bit and saying, "God," he said, "why didn't my dad give me these keys so I could get in there?" So he got this idea. He said, "I got a credit card. I'm just going to run over there and slide it in the door there, and I'll get in this place." And so he went over there, and he put the credit card in there, and to no avail, he just couldn't get in there. And so he went over and sat down and had another credit card, so he tried the other credit card and couldn't get that to work. And all of a sudden, he got this idea. I've got this key. I'm going to run over and try that. He runs over, and he puts the key in the door. The door flew open, and he got so excited, he ran over to this door. He put the key in. It opened that door. He went to this next door, and he opened that, and it opened that door. He had the master key. Had the master key and didn't know it. Now, isn't that kind of how we are? We've got the master's key, and we don't even know it. We have the master's key. We have everything we need in our hand. We really do. And we have this treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have all we need. We have all we need. And we're going to share with you a little bit about what we're doing. And then after that, we'd like to just pray. I really believe that God was telling us that we just needed to. We've all been given gifts. We've been given gifts that God wants us to. He wants to just bring it out. Our daughter has a treasure chest, and she may open it once in a while. She has a blanket in there, and you know, we all like to have her be in our comfort zone. We like to take her blanket out and wrap it around us and put it back in. But you know, God has many things much deeper than our comfort, than our blanket. He wants us to go deeper. I really sense that there's people here that God just wants to take you deeper. He wants you to go deeper in Him. He wants you to get right down at the bottom of that chest, things that have been put away and on the shelf. He wants to bring them to life in your life. And like I said, we'll share with you a little bit about what we're doing, and then if you want prayer to for God just to bring out your gifts and callings, and hopefully God will give us a word for you too on what your gifting is. So we're trusting and believing God that He'll reveal that to us. So as soon as we get done with sharing with what God has allowed us to do through Him, and then we'll do that at the closing. So with that, we'll share with you and say, look what the Lord has done through all of us.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the first slide is, this is all entitled, The Mercy and Wonder of God.
Yeah, isn't God wonderful and merciful? Some will trust in chariots and others in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen. And while she's bringing that up too, we have these sheets out here that show all of our projects for this year. If you want to pick one up and you can pray over it, and that's out on the table on your way out. Hallelujah. Well, every year we have a goal, and our goal is to touch at least 10,000 people around the earth. And so we're thankful that that's being able to be done by many, many teams. And so first of all, we'll take you to China. There's the flag. And this is China today. They have 1.6 billion people. And it's become quite a modern place. But people need the Lord. And we don't have time to go into it, but pray for China. It is it's a tough place right now. It's not as easy as even when we were there. We're so thankful that we have people that are still working with us. In fact, we'll be in China in May with our team. This is Guo Yisheng on the left. He's one of our directors there. And this is Baptism Day. Hallelujah. When we do baptism, it's a whole weekend, T-shirts and food and the whole thing. Hallelujah. But we've never forgotten the elderly either. That's what God first led us in, and we continue to minister to them. As you can see, we gave out lap robes at Christmas time. And if you notice the previous picture and this picture, what do you think? We're inside the nursing home, so what are you thinking? Look at, they're wearing their coats and hats. It's not heated in their nursing home, so they really welcome the blankets that we... Yeah,
if you live in Beijing, if you live on the south part of Beijing, there's a line... You don't get heat, but if you live on the north side, then you get heat. So it doesn't matter how cold it is. That's just the way it is.
And Beijing is on the same parallel as Iowa, the 46th parallel on the globe.
So it does get cold there.
We also have been working with orphans all these years. We're so thankful for this church because this orphanage also is 20 years old, living by faith. And of course, you see, they have coats on too because it's not heated in the orphanage either. And so Will Go bought them insulated underwear. It's about 120 people that they keep all from all over China and feed and clothe and send to schools. So it's.
And when they run out of food, they say they call a fast day. And within 24 hours, God has provided the food for them. So they definitely live by faith.
Amen. Amen. Well, migrant worker children outreaches is how you can see the numbers. We go to a school, there's usually never less than 300, can be as high as 800 children. They allow us to preach the gospel. That is just so, we're so thankful, just so thankful. And the migrant worker children, the reason they're in these what we call migrant worker children schools is because they are not allowed in public school. And the reason is they are the second, third, or fourth child of a couple. So they have no hukou, which is like a social security number. So basically, they will live their whole lives in their own country with no status.
They have to raise up their own teachers, their own pastors, or whatever they do, they have to raise it up for themselves.
So we, especially here, we want to give them hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this is our Will Go House Church. We began in 1996. A man asked us to start doing English classes at the A&Ws in Beijing. Well, and that's just like the A&W here. And we were pretty lowly missionaries, and he offered us a free meal every time. So
It's like, hallelujah, you know, that sounds pretty good. So, but that's how our house church started. As people came to the Lord, then we started a church. Well, Sri Lanka, here we come. Our church also has a heart to start sending people out. So Heidi and Gua went to Sri Lanka and connected with construction workers and took t-shirts and fruit, and they were just thrilled. They said, this has never happened before. So they're planning to go again this year. So it's going around the globe.
So thank God our ministry over there in China has a heart to reach those that are less fortunate than they are.
Amen, amen. If you follow us on Facebook, they really took a leap of faith. They live in a community of about 4,000 people in just these few apartment houses. At Easter time, they boiled 300 or 400 eggs, and they went down in their courtyard and invited people to come and hear the story. It's not easy being a missionary or an evangelist in your own backyard, but we're so thankful for them. Well, this is Nigeria. God led us there about 6 years ago, and there we're touching hundreds of children every year for God. We're so thankful for the work there. One of the ways we do that is through children's beach camps, and we had a miracle divine appointment with the pastor, and the pastor is the guy pointing his finger, and it's Pastor John Adishon. And he met us actually in Liberia, so we started helping him also, and he has such a heart for kids. Well, you can see the results are many in our area where he is planted. As you know, Nigeria is half Muslim, or more than half Muslim. So we have lots of Muslims around us, and they are invited too. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
And of course, they're standing by the water, the young people, and I'm sure that they tell them many stories about Jesus walking on water and things like that in the word of God.
And you may have noticed there was three kids on the horse.
Yeah.
There's two reasons for that. First of all, the horse is very expensive, so if you can get three kids on, you don't have to get so many horses, you know. And the second thing, too, is the kids, they had never been to the water. Even they have to have an adult take, they have never been by the ocean, even though they're only 2 hours away. And they've never even been on a horse, so they were afraid to be on the horse by themselves. So it was really a special time for them. Well, the ministry continues on, and we're so thankful for John. He has a children's ministry every week and then a big party once a month to continue to add children to the heart of God. Well, this next thing we had, even though Larry couldn't go last year, a team, thank you, Lord, went for us to Nigeria. And this is one of the team members. Her baby was born, and the doctor said she will never live or walk or talk. And because of the Lord Jesus, she lived, she walks, she talks, and they wrote a children's book that they're willing to share around the world. So here is Don sharing with the kids about the hope there is in God no matter what. Hallelujah.
And of course, it's wonderful to have a nice kitchen, isn't it? How would you like to serve people with a paddle? And you might say it's like an oar, but... They feed the kids.
Amen. Amen. Yep. And then every quarter we have ministry to widows and give food to widows. And it's also an evangelistic outreach. We've had healings and deliverances through these ministry. But Pastor John himself was raised a widow. You know, it's quite different in Africa. It's not a fathered society. The fathers are not fathers. And so many fathers just leave a lady with lots of kids. So they become a widow. And they have these kids to raise. And that happened to Pastor John, too. And he never forgets that widows that didn't even know him took him in and fed and clothed him. And so we're very serious about ministry to the widows.
And this is the king... In Africa, they have a lot of tribes, and it'd be like Iowa has 99 counties, and so you'd have one person over the 99 counties, and So you have one big potato and a whole bunch of little potatoes, and of course they all have to line up.
And, the big potato in this picture is in the orange or red.
And but anyway, he was a Muslim that got converted, and he's Catholic now, but he really loves the Lord.
Amen. So this year we held our second King's Conference. We, like Pastor John said, well, we have this open door, let's do it. And so actually this year we're invited to an international King's Conference. That means kings from all over Africa will come to our area, and they've asked Larry to come and be a part of that, part of the speaking, and so we're really excited. And many, as you can see in the next one, many Muslim guys have accepted the Lord. And when Pastor John called, he goes, oh, you should have seen their tears come out. We're so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this was the team this year, teams bringing blessings to the kings.
And we were able to raise finances for a car there. Mm-hmm. At a little over $8,000, but it was raised up so they could evangelize much quicker and much easier. So we thank God for that.
Amen.
And you're all a part of that too.
So. Absolutely. Well, we're going to switch gears and take you to Liberia. We've been there for longer than Nigeria. And as you know, last year was a horrible year with Ebola shutting everything down. And you know, you hear so much about Ebola killing people, but you know, starvation killed more people because people were so afraid to get out. The shops were not open. There was a curfew. And so the whole country was just on hold, you might say, in every way. But the schools did reopen. We're so thankful. And you can see these big bowls. We'll go even through the Ebola. We fed people on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And so we did what we could to continue to help people.
But they put a curfew on. And you know what happens when they put a curfew? All the good people stay home and behave themselves, and all the criminals are turned loose. So they stole the gates off of the steel gates off of the school and a bunch of the desks and different things out of the school. So guess who gets to replace that? We do. But here we started a church in the boondocks, you might say, or in the
very remote,
very remote areas in there. But it's kind of like a community building. It's not just a church, but it's for all activities and for a school there too.
So the next picture shows that this year we have 205 kids in that school. So we're so thankful, and we feed them every Friday too. This helps to keep kids in school, keep them off the streets, keep them out of prostitution and all the things that people do to raise enough just to eat. Well, 655 people, children are fed each week. So mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
And they're fed on Friday, and they bring big bowls so they have enough rice to take home and feed the family for the weekend. So that keeps a lot of them in school.
Amen. Well, this is our budget for Africa in Liberia, the things that we're believing God for. So just please believe with us.
Yes.
There's many children in Liberia that still are not in school in that area where we put up that church and community building for $15,000. There's many, many more areas and where kids have no school. So we also help with the teachers' salaries and keep teachers out there. Well, Ethiopia. I didn't expect to go to Ethiopia, but you know, Larry had his heart attack, and the school called us, and they said, would you both come? And Larry felt right away, well, Gene, you should go, and I felt it too. So it was a walk of faith for me, but taught in Victory Bible College for a month, and we had 129 students. We were very, very devout kids. People, I should say, not really too many kids. They would come an hour before classes started just to pray. So it was really wonderful. The students were very loving and included me in their home life. It was just wonderful. I never knew that in Ethiopia there would be such persecution from other Christians. The Catholic Church and the Episcopalian Church are very strong, and they do many, many good things, but they don't want you to step out. And if you do, the normal way to, what do you want to say? I can't use the word tag, I don't know.
Anyway, I'll tell you what they do, and then you can put the word on it. It's up to the mother, and if her child steps away from one of those two churches, it's up to her to bite that child severely on their back until it leaves marks permanently, so that you remember what you have, that you've backbit your church, you've backbit your family, and, you know, woe to you. Both of these people were thrown out 20 years ago on the streets, and they met, and they married. They have a great church today. So God will redeem you and lift you up. Hallelujah. Well, we saw many demons, I saw many demons come out from people. Demons are real. I think sometimes we forget to call what it is that we see in people. There are demons. And this young guy, his name is Kamara. He was, when he was about 6 or 7 years old, he started getting sick. And by the time he was 16, he said he couldn't walk. He couldn't even get himself to the bathroom. And so his dad was kind of a wealthy tribesman. He sold a lot of land to have enough money to take to the witch doctor to buy him an amulet, because they had tried everything else. So they put this amulet around his neck, and he said he had to say he even felt worse. Well, this went on for a few months, and he said, one day I just felt I was dying, and I didn't want to die with this amulet. So he said, I used all my strength, I ripped it off and threw it in the fire. And he said his dad came running and said, what have you done? You know, I sold hectares and hectares of land to buy you this amulet. And he said, I just can't die with this amulet. So the father stormed out of the compound, and wouldn't you know, divine appointment. Here comes a missionary walking by just at that time. And the father said, you'll never guess what Kamara did. And this it was a lady. This lady said to him, well, can I go pray for Kamara? He said, I don't care what you do with Kamara, you know, I'm finished. So the missionary went in, laid hands on him, and he testified that as soon as she touched him, he jumped to his feet and was fully healed. He said, I walked out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
And
praise God.
So he said, I had to know this Jesus a lot more. And, you know, every morning, Kamara, how I know him, he was our gatekeeper. And so I, you know, that's how I got his whole story and everything. And so in the morning, I get up around 6, I look out, and there's already Kamara. He lived in a tiny shed on the grounds. And he'd already be out underneath this palm tree reading his Bible. So sometimes I'd go out, and one day I said, Kamara, what are you reading? Oh, he said, it's so glorious. It's just glorious. I'm reading Leviticus. And I say, wow, the Lord had really touched his heart if he could get all that out of Leviticus. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Well, Christianity is proclaimed by Christians. They are not afraid to say, I am God's child. This was in a coffee shop. Well, we're switching gears really quickly and take you to Canada. That's where we live.
Yeah, so our ministry still is going on in Vancouver, where they feed the street people summer and winter, and they offer up prayer also. They invite them, everybody that comes, they ask if they want prayer or need prayer. So
you can look on our website and you can see the prayer requests of the homeless from Vancouver. Hallelujah. Well, we're so thankful too. And we're happy to see so many young ones here at this church raising up a next generation. I think our big 2/3 of our team is under the age of 16.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, we continue to give bread to immigrants. You know, China is 33% of their population comes new into Canada every year. There's only 33 million people. Right now, they're resettling 25,000 Syrian refugees. Well, part of our ministry in the Vancouver area is to take bread to these people that have almost nothing. We even go door to door.
And Cobb's is so good that they bake more bread than they need every day, so they have enough to give to people in need.
So we also work with First Nations there. You can see we've been doing that. I think we've told a lot to you about that before. We're going to Bella Coola. If anybody wants to go to Bella Coola, you would be blessed there. And then this is our fellowship in Vancouver, some of the people in our fellowship, and they just love God like you and continue the work there.
But God called us to Eastern Canada. One day Larry was just doing dishes.
I was doing dishes and the Lord spoke to my heart that America's wounded. And I said, how? And he just said, Detroit. And every time we picked up a newspaper, turned the TV on, there was something about Detroit. And Gene started giving, but we just both felt in our heart that we just needed to go. We were both led out by the Spirit of Peace and just knew that God wanted us to go there.
So this is the Ambassador Bridge you see there. And so we travel across it to do our ministry in Detroit. When we're there, we go every Friday, partner with the church, give preaching, and thank God many souls have come to the Lord. In fact, just last Friday, three young ladies gave their hearts to the Lord. So we're just so thrilled.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And one day the Lord just spoke to my heart to give them toilet paper. And we get a lot of hugs over just toilet paper.
You know,
but we also pass out food or help them pass out food.
You know, the food banks give food, but they never give paper products. And that's what's expensive. Oh, my goodness. Well, and we had a team come up and fix this Heaven's Closet, and that's where we give out a lot of clothing now and other things, high chairs for little kids and just good things. But here we are, summer teams. Actually, we had a team come from not far from you, from Sisseton, South Dakota. And so you might recognize some of these people here in the next slide. They came with a vacation Bible school. It was just excellent. We had our team come from Vancouver where the kids prayed for kids. It was a precious thing. And in the painting of the t-shirts, we have them paint what they could remember about the stories we told them. So from this painting, what do you think stories we told? Can you tell? These are three guys. It's a kind of a hint. It's the prodigal son, so the big guy is the father and the two sons. And, of course, the cross is Jesus, and the coin was
the lost coin that was found by the lady.
Amen. Well, we also did a lot of carnival time, and we do that in Bella Coola and two different places in Detroit.
And we also do projects while we're there. There was this man had gotten a school, and we were helping to paint and make it more presentable to
Amen.
Them.
It's actually a church, and in this church we did backpacks for kids and helped 60 Detroit kids get ready for school. And of course we pray for them. I mean, what's the good if you give people things and you don't direct them to Jesus or don't help them to believe that God can protect them?
Mm-hmm.
And the prayers that, if we go to the next, the prayers are so different in Detroit. You should all come at least one time. When they have prayer time, they say, God, thank you. Nobody was killed in my family this week. Thank you, Lord, that all my kids came home from school. Nobody was hurt. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't have a drive-by shooting this week.
Yeah. Right?
Thank you, Lord, that nobody in my family went to jail this week.
Yeah.
It's a whole different land.
It's a completely different culture. And, of course, we were able to help the homeless there. We take in blankets.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
pray for them, too.
Pray for them also.
And
I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me.
Amen. So we just want to close with five short stories about how good God is. This man is a Sunni Muslim, and when I went to Ethiopia, I was supposed to arrive in 18 hours. Well, it took 3.5 days. I ended up in Turkey for over 24 hours with no money, no telephone, of course, that works, no visa for Turkey. And so it was unbelievable. I was in this long queue of 300 people. And there was an American guy. He was arguing with the security guy. And he was saying, I am not going to buy a visa. I just got stuck here. I'm only here for 24 hours. I'm not. And he was going on and on and on. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. So I stepped out of line and I said, dear sir, I'm sorry, but you're in a foreign land and there's nothing you can do. You have to buy the visa.
"Oh," he said, "is that right?" And I said, "That's right. You just go over there and you pay your $35 and you get yourself a visa. It'll be good for a month if you get stuck longer."
And see what happens to me when I get out of line? She, she gets me right back on track.
Hallelujah. So anyway, this man, we'd already been in line for an hour. We ended up being in line for 3 hours, but he was right in front of me, and after I spoke, he turned around and he said, "I can hear from your accent." Do I have an accent? "I can hear from your accent that you're either from the USA or Canada." Well, hallelujah. God raised this guy up. We had a great conversation. He's a cardiologist, and he insisted on staying with me until Lufthansa opened their office. It was 3:30 in the afternoon. They opened their office at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. So he took me to Starbucks. He used his smartphone to let Larry know what was happening. He used the smartphone to call the Bible school. He bought me coffee, he bought me food, and it was unbelievable. And you know, I am a grandma, so I had this striped pillow sticking out of this ugly carry thing. He carried it all through the airport. God will send you an angel no matter what's going on. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. This is John Adajohn, and he was raised by widows himself, so he really has a heart for the widow ladies. And this is his niece. She was, her mother died when she was young, and also her father was poisoned because he was working as a chef, and he got the promotion, and the other guy thought he should have got it, so he just decided to get rid of him, so he poisoned him. And so she was left an orphan, and so John has brought her in and taken care of her along with, what, six other people. We found out that she wanted to be a doctor, so we have been trying to help her get into medical school. So we just praise God for him just having a heart for all those that have a need.
Amen. Well, hardship in finances, we all go through that. Well, maybe we don't all do, but many of us go through a hardship in finances at some time. This is Li Zheng Lan, our tea girl from southern China. Our Beijing group finally decided that they were just sick and tired of her husband being sick and tired so much. So they raised the funds and flew him to Beijing and put him in the best hospital, had the doctors look at him. They had a DNA panel done. And yes, he does have a permanent and debilitating degenerative muscular disease. Not the usual that we're familiar with, but we just are standing in faith for a complete healing for him. Yes.
And she also has a corner on the street where she sells tea, but her home is quite a ways away. And so every day she'd have to pack this, and so she just shared with us that it was getting to be too much for her because her husband couldn't help her. And so we just put out a plea that somebody would buy a motorcycle for him. And so sure enough, somebody was able to buy the motorcycle and make her life a lot easier.
Amen.
And where she could spend more time with her husband. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him, like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. And Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
Amen. Amen. Well, this is if the vision tarries, wait for it.
Now, this is Pastor Hill. He's the one that where we were painting in the schoolhouse there. Back in the 80s, he got a vision that one day he would have a building and would be able to house many different missions or mission organizations. And just 2 years ago, it came to pass that he was able to buy a school, and there's 9 ministries that are working out of that school.
Hallelujah.
So though it tarry, though your vision tarries, just wait for it. Trust God.
Amen. This is for some of us that are a little bit older. He is 80 years old. Well,
We're going to, I think we already mentioned, we'll, for time's sake, we won't go into all of this, but we did have our personal tragedy, and Larry had an open heart surgery, a quadruple bypass last year, and God met all our needs.
Yeah.
So we'll just close with this story here, just a child. This young guy, we were just doing a carnival, and at the end of the carnival, we were raffling off two bicycles, a boy and a girl bicycle. Well, you can see this kid is 13 years old. So what does he win but the little pink bicycle for a 7 or 8 year old girl? So Larry went to him and he said, oh gosh, you know, we just got these bicycles at Walmart. We'll take you over to Walmart and let us buy you a boy's bicycle. And he said, oh no. He said, this is an answer to prayer. He said, all my life, remember this is Detroit, all my life I've wanted to give my sister a birthday present. And now I have one to give her, and her birthday is tomorrow. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The faithfulness of God.
Amen. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we just want to close with this scripture from Matthew.
Yeah.
This be the next one. Oopsie daisy. Okay.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you all so much.
Thank you for your support, and Pastor Jeff and Carol, and all of you saints that have stood behind us all these years. We're truly grateful. So, and
all right, well, Pastor Jeff had to step out to go get to the nursing home, so he asked me to close. Thank you guys for sharing what you guys do. If you guys ever want to go on a mission trip, it looks like we have an awesome organization to yoke up with. If you feel led, or if you have a friend who's looking for an opportunity to go, get connected, get hooked up so that can happen. Let's see. If anybody wants prayer, come on up and they'll be happy to pray and get that good word spoke over you. We do have food and coffee in the back. Me and Ann had we found out the gender of the baby we're having, but we're not telling anybody. So if you want to find out, you have to go eat a cupcake, and the color inside will reveal that. So anyway, all right. Well, thank you everybody for coming. Have a good day.